Running a call center sales team is definitely filled with challenges, but at the same time, can be very rewarding. There is no manual for how to win the call center sales game, which is why this podcast exists. As your guide, our goal is to help you overcome challenges, discover new tools, innovate where possible, and hear stories from others who have made it to the top of the call center mountain. Welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast with your host, Jason Cutter.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to another episode of the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. So glad that you're here tuning in. If you found this episode, it's going to be a fun one. I am excited for my guest. This is somebody who I actually met in person, and then we have formed a relationship through various conferences, which we'll dive into today, I am sure. So my guest today is Steve Moreno from IM Data Center, which is a division of Brooks Integrated Marketing. Steve's biggest focus, and we'll dive into a lot of this today, is helping his clients by providing precision targeting for online marketing, mobile email, direct mail, telemarketing, and really anything to do with data slash enhancing data and adding more attributes to it, helping people just be more effective with their marketing. We're going to talk about the evolution of where things have been 20 years ago to where they are now, why people and call centers keep doing what they're doing and what they're, you know, what the risk is with that and the ultimate cost. And so this should be fun. Steve, welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast.
Well, thank you, sir. That was a very spot-on introduction.
There we go.
Covered everything in 1 minute.
That was it. So here's what's fun. And I've mentioned this a few times in the podcast in recent history, is when I have a guest on the show and it's somebody I've actually met in person, which two things. One is, in the time of pandemic, obviously that seems weird. And a lot of people can relate to that because nobody was traveling and no one was going to events. Even before that, as a consultant, I did a lot of networking on LinkedIn. In fact, I think we might have been connected on LinkedIn even before we met. We didn't even know of each other. And you and I literally met on the evening at a conference while walking to a dinner hosted by Retriever and Convoso.
Right.
I didn't really know who they were either. And you and I are just walking to dinner and then had a great chat. And I love that that's kind of how we got to know each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, it was a good show. I think that was the first show that we came back after everybody's pandemic fears. And I remember vividly the dinner was amazing. It was quite an event. Not just the guys that sponsored it, but just a great avenue to meet a lot of new people in a tight, you know, intimate setting at that really cool restaurant. But I remember, you know, the first day of the conference, everybody's charged up. Pretty good attendance. I think there were like 300 or 400 people there, right? Yeah. And okay, temperature check, COVID check, everybody's in. First night, a lot of people went out. I had a bed check. I went to bed early that night because I had a lot of meetings the next day, the second day of the show. But I just remember the second day of the show, everybody was so happy to be out networking again, but stayed out late, right? So the second and third day of shows, typically your attendance is a little lighter. I think you were probably speaking the second day, right?
Yep.
And I just remember even the temperature check stopped. The doorman doing the temperature check, go on in. This is too much work for me.
And part of it, like you said, it was partly people just being so excited. I remember people just like so happy to be around everyone after, you know, being cooped up for so long. Then really just to be there for business, right? Not just hanging out, you know, like a conference might be in a Vegas, because this wasn't in Vegas. It's more of a, hey, we're all together. Let's get some business done. It's been way too long.
So, correct.
I think that's fun. And I love the relationships that get formed at conferences and other conferences and just over time, which is, you know, again, why we're here. I just saw you a few weeks ago at a totally unrelated conference in Miami that I wasn't expecting to go to. There you were, of course. And then here we are. So let's do this. I know that this is kind of important. And for people listening, I think it's valuable to do kind of a history of data and lead gen. I don't normally do that. Don't normally open up the time capsule and think about what has happened in the past. However, I think it's important because you have the experience, you've seen the industry change. And when we're talking about data, lead generation, you know, sources of inbound marketing, sources of outbound, you know, lead generation, phone calls, stuff like that, a lot has changed over, I don't know what, 15, 20 years?
Absolutely. So, and I'll not going to get into the entire history of it, but certainly I can give you, so lead generation is king. Okay. Our economy relies on it. It's so vitally important. And it's changed so drastically over the years. Back when I got into business, literally 20 years ago, I was a business development guy working for a division of a big telecommunications company that had this solution that did faxing and email broadcasts. And they were just starting to get into a little bit of the texting, but this was 20 years ago. Now let's rewind for those of us that have been in business for 20 years. Google was just getting rolling. Facebook didn't exist. The concept did, but Facebook wasn't the marketplace that it is today. There was no legislation for call centers that included what's called do not call. There was no legislation for email marketing at the time, which was developed in, I think, 2003, the Canned Spam Act, right? President Bush signed the Canned Spam Act, which changed the dynamics of email marketing, and the do not call obviously changed the dynamics of lead generation and call centers. Companies that relied on that vehicle for lead generation saw a dramatic shift in their businesses because of this legislation. We've seen further legislations down the road, but think about it. Back then you had email marketing, you had direct mail was still a vehicle. Catalogers were still sending out millions of mailers, TV, radio. The internet was a medium. Online was a medium, but nowhere near what it is today. LeadsCon didn't exist. The governing body of the kind of marketing partners and ecosystem at the time was an organization, non-for-profit by the name of the DMA.org, Direct Marketing Organization, which still exists, but doesn't leverage the power that it used to, that some of these new venues do. So think of that. Gmail didn't exist. You know, AOL was your primary email provider at the time. So it's hard to believe how much has evolved and changed. And then obviously, as time goes on, we fast forward to today where there's a lot of different legislation around, call center connectivity and stir shaken and things like that. Which is, I guess my philosophy on it all, being around it for so long, is, you know, so long as legislation comes out and it doesn't hurt the good guys in the business, and doesn't, you know, bring them to a screeching halt, I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for it. I'm supportive of it. But you know, when the good guys in the business, and most people are good guys in these businesses that either generate leads or do marketing or do any kind of lead generation or just trying to help their clients. Right. Sometimes that's tough. I've seen in my history in kind of data services and technology and marketing, a lot of businesses, you know, legislated out of businesses because they were working on a particular vertical. They were doing a great job, but they had to change their marketing messages for debt settlement offers back in, let's say, 2010 or 2011. So that's just kind of my take on it. It's all good stuff. It's all wonderful. It's brought on and evolved with new exciting technologies and, you know, speed of light type of apps and technologies that help support all of us marketers out there to just generate good quality results for our end users, be it call centers, online lead generation companies, affiliate publishers, the whole ecosystem that supports, you know, the big B2B and the B2C brands. So a little bit of kind of my history. You know, I've been doing it a long time. A lot of, I'm passionate about data. I'm passionate about, getting good quality results for strategic alliances, clients, end users. We're all about repetitive business. Our model is with not only our solutions, but our technology. It's really a pay-for-performance model. We don't go in for the big long-term contracts or anything like that. So it offers a lot of flexibilities, ease of entry, and to our end users, who typically, Jason, look like either strategic alliances, technology companies, all the people that generate leads, who may be working with call centers. So we work with a handful of end users, call centers themselves, or technology providers. We provide our solutions for the call centers themselves. And, what I typically have seen with the evolution of leads or data, and we've done a lot of analysis on this over the years from just managing and building processes for big mailers to big emailers to big lead gen folks to digital to online to telemarketing. There's quality issues out there, and no data is 100%. As an example, we have three major credit bureaus in this country. Why is it that my credit score is different with all three of them? All right? Right. If everybody had the same data 100% of the time, you would think maybe one reports a little bit differently, but some of them are kind of skewed. So one of the agencies may have a doctor's bill I had from 15 years ago that for some reason I never got because I moved and it dinged me versus the other two that don't have it. So when we're talking about data, there's just so much movement, so much opportunity, so much movement in data just with the facts. A million people or so move every month, 12 to 15 million, used to be more pre-COVID, but that's ramping back up to, pre-COVID days. So when people move, they do a variety of things. They spend money, they change insurances, they buy things, they buy a mattress, they go and reach out to the goods that people, that need in their home or their apartment, right? So, but they also sometimes change their identity, meaning they may change their cell phone, they may change their email with a new cable hookup, they may change their postal address, obviously, okay? We find big companies are really, really good at isolating that with all the big data that's out there in today's market, which we access, obviously, as a data services and tech stack provider. But most importantly, kind of the mid-sized organizations and smaller organizations are very challenged with this data at the speed of light that it's moving. And not just prospects, but customer data as well. So you got two different buckets of it. You got prospects, leads, and then you got the customer data, which is a byproduct of all those prospects and leads and customer data. So, that's just the way it is. 40 million to 50 million people change phone numbers every year. Those are just some commonly known stats. Leads that are generated in today's environment, 20 to 25%, depending on the quality of the lead provider, either the phone number is the wrong person or the email is the wrong person. So that's where, solution providers like ours come in and really help, especially the call centers that are dealing in high volume and more bulk strategically, because call centers really need to be on top of this market strategically from a compliance, from a privacy, from technology, from integration of all their silos of data points, leads, CRM data, you name it. And the ones that are kind of ahead of that curve and do a good job and also train their people well with, solution providers like you to help them out on that, it goes a long way, to bringing a good product to market, whether it's insurance, home services, bathtub, remodeling, energy, you name it. We go right down the line. There's plenty of need for our offers out there. That's why so much money is poured into this industry, right? So, but that's what we really, that's the big challenge that I love about this business is, and it keeps us in business with this constant movement of data and making sure that people are maximizing, you know, real time resources to be able to in real time get not only enrichment, but also, you know, append data to bring in all the different identities of that consumer to make more intelligent decisions for future marketing or on a real-time inbound phone call if it's an inbound initiative. So we're on the forefront of that, and technologies to help our call center partners or strategic alliances that work with call centers to help them with that, you know, to really help, you know who they're talking to and get some more data on these people. And so they can make intelligent decisions and route the calls properly. So many things to talk about as it pertains to data. So I could, but you can cut me off whenever, man, because I can talk. So, I'm very passionate about the subject.
Yeah, which I love, right? Like I appreciate that every time we talk about it and have talked about it is just the different aspects that I don't think about. When you first were chatting about kind of the history and the evolution of where things are, I mean, one of the things that jumps out to me is back in the day when email first started, right? Like my first real email was a Hotmail when I worked at Microsoft.
Right.
Then that's what we had as part of what it was. And that was in 2000. Before then, we weren't an AOL family, so I didn't have that. But there was a time where any new email was exciting. Like you were excited to check that email, right? And see an email, just like you were excited to check the mail. You're excited back a long time ago when anyone knocked on the door because it meant it was like friends or family or someone coming to visit or wanted to hang out versus, you know, where it eventually gets to with marketing. And I think a lot of companies just still think like, oh, if I send enough emails, if I make enough phone calls, people are going to be, you know, someone's going to answer and be excited. And the challenge is that people view their phones the same way now too, which is like, if I don't recognize it, especially now where it says spam likely, but if I don't recognize the number, I'm not answering. If I do recognize it, I still might not answer. Depends on what I'm in the middle of. And companies have to find a different approach instead of let's just buy more and put more into the dialer or the machine. Let's actually get smarter about it. And then there's the other parts, which I see a lot of companies just don't understand what's available. They just don't know what they don't know because they're in the mode of just doing what they've always done, which is the stuff that you're talking about. I mean, back in the day, 15, 20 years ago, maybe not even that long ago, someone filled out a form on a website that got submitted to the company. Whatever they put in the form is pretty much all you're going to have access to, right?
Right.
Now, with services like what you're talking about, with what you help your clients with, you can then find out all this other data, right? You can enhance it and say, okay, not only is it this person, but here's what they do. Here's where they live. Like here's how much money that you can find, probably all kinds of different things. And then you can append it with, here's more about them. Here's more of their habits, which then help you from a sales perspective, right? I mean, do you see a lot of organizations that don't even realize what is out there for them to help with their sales process?
Absolutely. And it, you know, I mean, we live in a get it done yesterday. You know, there's, I don't know what the number is, but I know there's thousands of messages that are going through our brain every day, advertising messages through everything that we're involved in on a daily basis from the moment we wake up, right? From our phones to TV to just driving down the road, seeing billboards to you name it. It's subconsciously happening all day long. We're getting bombarded with these messages. So I think people's approaches, and I think a lot of people are on board with this. There's some that aren't, but a lot of people are on board with we live in a data driven society. Everything we do is just peel back the onion and look at you and I as consumers. Most of the decisions we make are based on data. Some kind of rational decision based on, you know, analyzing something and making a decision. Hey, I did research on these three vehicles and I chose this one because the data told me that it's a good car based on my consumer reports that I read and the data that I absorbed. Right, right. On up to, you know, the stocks we invest in, to you name it. You know, we like, you know, and media has, you know, throws a lot of data at us every day as well, right? Just in general. So I think especially the younger generation, it's very data driven. everything we do is based on some kind of data element or data formula. And that's what's fascinating about kind of data in general. You know, I mean, even when we were, in this lockdown, I mean, I think everybody in the world was going on these charts to see kind of what their state was doing as far as the COVID data. How many new cases? Yeah. How many hospitalizations? You know, what are the real numbers? So we live and breathe with data all day long. So when it comes to, data in a call center or in a big marketer's environment, there's typically call centers, whether they're BPOs outsourcing or it's their own organization or they're providing services on behalf of multiple organizations, there's a tremendous amount of data that's going into this funnel, right? And that data is going to change. The data that I have in my CRM today and in your CRM, that's going to turn over by 20 to 30% over the next year. So just even that alone is staggering. Imagine companies that have databases of millions and millions of records. So we look at that kind of archive data. How do we enrich that? How do we bring in more elements that make sense? Once again, some companies are really, really good with this, have teams internally to do it, use third parties like ourselves to help them fill in the gaps on all that archive data. And then you have the real-time world of the call centers or agencies or you name it that are getting real-time marketing from their performance marketers or affiliates that are sending out email campaigns for a particular product or, brands that just email and they have this is not a new concept, landing pages, right? So sometimes if you have too much information on a landing page and you're asking for Jason Cutter's, resume, the 15 places he's lived, all this other stuff, you're going to turn somebody off. They're going to just say, I'm on to the next one. There's too many choices, right?
Yeah.
So, and we want things now. So sometimes it's best not to have too much information. So the beautiful thing about, our technology, and these technologies are not new, but we do a good job of pulling in all these different elements. And it's no secret. We're just leveraging not only databases that we have internally, but some of the biggest and baddest data assets in the world, both online and offline, billion-dollar organizations, we're leveraging a lot of their intelligence as well. So it's not just our team of 15 people and data scientists. It's leveraging the minds of people that have constructed these databases that we access for years and years and years of experience doing this. So we're able to give kind of, those big company assets to organizations without these big price tags and tickets with commitments. But getting back to the form, somebody fills out 3 or 4 bits of data. We just need one of those elements to be able to work some magic, such as, hey, if you put in your name and your phone number, all right, well, we're not going to assume that the name and phone number is 100% correct, because it may not be. It may be me filling out a form for my father for his Medicare policy. I want an email. I'm a smart shopper, but I don't want to get a phone call. So I'm putting in Cutter's phone number, right? So, and that happens a lot, unfortunately. And there's fraud prevention and risk tools to help mitigate that risk. But at the end of the day, bad data on a form, you can only work so much magic with it. But at the end of the day, not all forms are bad, and they're really set up nicely. And a lot of the information is really quality and good. And people spend a lot of money to develop not only the content, but to drive the people there. Okay. So I've never been a big fan of lead scoring as part of what we do. And the reason I say that is because I've got a lot of friends and acquaintances in the business that spend a lot of money to generate this traffic. And just like everything, it's data. You're going to get some good with the bad, right? And most of the time, it's mainly good. So at the end of the day, though, we're taking that element and we're just bumping it up against what's called our identity graph or our data warehouse or data lake. And in real time, we're able to not only validate all the elements, but see how many times these people have been in these databases and kind of verify the quality of not just the email, the phone number, the address, and your name. And postal address, tie it in all together. The more elements, the more chance of getting a better, what I call verification score, or you pass the lead test. And there is no real grade on this, but it just says, hey, we've seen these patterns with these data elements a lot more frequently. This is the most recent email address. This phone number we haven't seen, or we see it with this other individual, still may be okay. It's connected, which is fine. So we do, and that all happens in milliseconds with technology the way it exists today. So people are able to get intelligence not only on that, but it will also bring in valuable demographics. We've got solutions that have demographics going high and wide for mortgage data, loan amount, property data, square footage, credit models. Can't use actual credit data for what we're doing, but good solid credit models, and wealth scores, a variety of different things that really help marketers make intelligent routing decisions and fill in the gaps on what wasn't captured on that form. You don't want a lot of data on that form, right? Call center. Well,
and I think that's the big thing, right? Like when I hear you talking about, especially with those forms, and then you were talking about how people want things yesterday. I think that's where there's a tough balance. And I'm curious to hear what you're seeing companies do successful with that, which there's two things. One is, well, maybe three things. One is people really seem to vocalize how much they care about their privacy, yet not necessarily because they share things all over the place, but they say how much they value their privacy. And then on the other side is everyone wants a customized, personalized experience, right? Like, I don't want to have to fill in a form with all these things and tell you where I've lived. I want to do whatever I need to do so that you can pull that up because I know that info somewhere. It's ridiculous. I know I can go into my Amazon and look at all of the addresses I have stored in there. And that's actually what I use to find previous addresses at this point in my life, because that's the most consistent database I have. So why can't you know that? That balance of like, I don't want to fill out your big form. I want you to know things about me, but not creepy stuff about me, and like not too much. But I also, when I talk to you, I don't want to have to explain everything. I want you to know. And then the other part that I think is interesting, which I know you and I have talked about as well, which is somebody fills out a form, companies think, okay, I just need to call that person as many times as I can and just call them until they relent and they answer, versus where do people actually want to be communicated, right? Via omnichannel. And not enough companies are using an omnichannel approach of like meeting somebody where they're at to start the conversation and move that forward. So what are you seeing with companies who are doing the like the personalization, the making it efficient, right? Like you said, not having a form with all these questions, and then also communicating and moving someone forward in different ways.
Sure. Great points. So personalization has always been preferential. We've been talking about consumer preferences for years and years, even way before, you know, the LeedsCon days, right? So personalization with direct mail, with all marketing media back in the day, right on up to today. So the personalization on the front end, when you're gathering in the information, it needs to be, you know, somewhat personalized, warm, friendly, not too over the top, and engaging, like any good content, right? And not too much about me. So how is this really going to help me? You know, I mean, I get it. I need to do this, but how is this really going to help me? And then on the back end, where the personalization is really, you know, the companies that do a better job, and most big brands, you know, some of them do a pretty good job. Most of them suck, excuse my language. And just let's look at the companies that we do business with. Okay. The big companies. Okay. I'm not going to name them, but they're in the cable industry. They're in the phone industry. they're in big industries, and they're wonderful companies. Don't get me wrong. We rely on them to get us away from the rat race. Right. But at the end of the day, do they really know who you are? They're starting to get better with some of the online streaming services that are really starting to personalize stuff. With competition and all that, the Netflix of the world and the Amazons, you know, they know what you like watching. And, yeah. you know, but at the end of the day, are they really talking to me? You know, are you really talking to me? So, but listen, these are incredible brands. They do an amazing job, but I think, you know, do they really care about you? Some of them are just too big and you're just a number. Right. And, yeah. we've had horrific experiences trying to reach these people sometimes. So everybody has a horror story about their ex company, right? But at the end of the day, you know, the companies that do get this information on people, on their outreach, be it phone, email, digital, are the ones that are really going to, you know, accelerate this growth with all their data and all their marketing over the years, because they've just done a better job and people are tuning in, because it's so hard to get someone's attention. But yeah, you know, even when I get an email, and we all get emails every day in our business world and personal world, if it's just a little different and it addresses me with something that's relevant to me, hey, that's yeah. interesting. It caught my attention. And as a marketer, I look for that. You know, whether I need that solution or not, I'm looking for that. So the marketers, the lead generation folks, all our ecosystem that is in that kind of business, the better we can create these preferences and personalizations of these experiences, be it whatever channel we're going out with, to get the intelligence on the front end and the back end, it's going to give you a better than fighting chance going forward.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, again, with the communication and with, you know, having that, what you're talking about with the access. One of the big things, as I'm hearing you talk about this, and I'm thinking of somebody listening to this and going, all right, Steve and Jason, this sounds great, but it sounds like a lot of work. Like, how do I do this? If I'm buying this data over here, I'm buying these leads over here, I'm buying this list and I'm doing direct mail, like that's already a lot of work. Now you're saying, like, to win, I've got to optimize. And then I've got to use omnichannel, right? On top of enhancing and everything else. But I know that obviously technology, the key is, this is 2022. Yeah. So it's not a manual lookup process anymore. Explain, you know, a bit about how streamlined it can be and what that looks like to get access to this enhanced data versus, you know, what, you know, people might be picturing in their mind.
Sure. Absolutely. So we saw, you know, we, our company, and just the business in general, I think, we become very reliant on automation and technology. So we, at our particular company, and we've been doing this for 12 years, but in the industry for, you know, 18, 20 years, we have always built not only data, but automation. And really about 3 or 4 years ago, we started really planting the seed for, okay, this is what customers are asking for. They have these big files. They have these calls that are coming in. They have these forms that need to be populated with other data, matching that consumer and consumer identity and appending data in real time. If we're going to survive as a company and be relevant with the ever-evolving space of lead generation, that's going to look totally different 20 years from now, right? You go yeah. 20 years back, what's it going to be 20 years from now? But not to get into that. So we had to evolve as a company. And so we started developing, for lack of better words, a software as a service, data as a service platform to allow not just brands, but also end users, call centers, strategic alliances, digital marketing agencies, even down to a data broker or an individual consultant to be able to access pretty much our on-demand solution. And we're not the only one that has this, but I think we built a solution that's relevant in its simplicity. It's geared for a non-technical user, even though it can be technical on some yeah. of the integrations. But, you know, so it's geared for a non-technical user, and somebody could be live up and running with these solutions immediately. And instead of file sharing and sending, you know, hundreds of thousands of records via email or on a secure link or what have you, you know, our site's secure. It allows easy access for uploading millions and millions of records to be able to do these processes to enhance, enrich, append, validate all different points in one's data. In a call center world, call centers are really concerned with the quality of phone numbers. I never thought this would be as popular as a solution as it's been within our software. And we have about 18 different processes in there, all at different levels for each element in somebody's data to either enrich it, validate it, or append it. But this particular solution is just, it's the most simple thing. So we get carrier reporting on phone numbers that are still active and disconnect and non-active and what type of phone number they are. So it's a very popular solution for just productivity purposes, getting rid of phone numbers that are disconnected in one's database because of the constant movement. So something as simple as that has turned out to be a very, very popular solution. We're many clients uploading everything from 10 to 15,000 records to hundreds of thousands of records of combination of age, leads, customers, prospects. And they have their quality control, you know, compliance engine on their end where the data is certified, it's tokenized, it's got its trusted form or JNIC ID or all the compliance angle of it. So it's all safe. But in a period of 3 to 4 months, we see the degradation of these leads go very, very quickly with just the phone number, you know, and a lot of people change phone numbers, especially in the younger demographic. Think about it. We just went through COVID. We had a moratorium on rent, right, for people that rent, and mortgage moratoriums. A lot of people took advantage of that. So our younger generation, this is our device. Even though I'm not the younger generation, this is my device, right? So
right.
I pay my bills on here. I do pretty much everything. I still get a few paper statements, but at the end of the day, those paper statements I'm paying online. So at the end of the day, I don't really need to receive mail, right? So think about it. There's a whole world ecosystem of people that go out and collect debt, right?
Yeah.
And solutions to find people when they can't be found, like skip tracing. We've got a solution like that actually within our platform. But at the end of the day, how do you track these people down? You can't mail them. You can't do that. How are you going to get their new phone number? So,
And I think one of the biggest things too is, you know, tracking people down. You've got the age data, you've got those kind of leads. I think one of the other biggest things that I heard you saying earlier, which I know would be valuable for call centers, I think many of them either don't realize it's possible again, or they don't think it's feasible or cost effective, which we can argue that all day, quality over quantity of leads and data, where, you know, there's still companies out there who just want the cheapest amount of records possible. And they're just going to hammer on those, right? Instead of, having quality both internally for their team and then also, you know, the dials. But I think you had mentioned, which is intelligent routing, which is imagine, right? And chat about this real quick is imagine someone fills out a lead form. They put in some basic info. That's enough for you to find more about them to enhance, validate, append, right? Then all of a sudden you have all these other things. You put together that lead scoring type model that you have. And then that lead then goes to the company. The company decides, okay, this is above a certain level or not. If it is, and it's in this range, we're going to send it to these salespeople or these reps because this is a valuable, good lead. We want to put this in the hand of someone who's going to for sure close this because this is going to be in that category. And routing that, right? So many companies don't even think of that or see that's a possible. They want to just give leads to everybody. And then their cost per acquisition is usually, you know, more than it needs to be.
That's correct. That's correct. So, I can concur with everything you said. And that's, those are that kind of solution we do in our sleep. And it's just on somebody on the other end, whether it's a integration partner or a development person in the call center. It's code. It's pretty easy to program the treeing or the routing on the other end if there's no middleware solution to do the call tracking and that kind of thing. So, and, you know, people really need to be doing that at some level. It may not be, hey, listen, I want all these demographics on this person, or I want everything available, all your 400 or 500 elements or 200 elements. They may want, hey, I want this call. I want an email on every call that comes in because I don't have it. I want the name. Okay, that's helpful. I want another phone number. Okay, and I want to know just basic demographic information versus that. Or, you know, on a form, hey, if this phone number is disconnected and they just filled out this form, at least I knew that real time. I'm going to send it to our digital department to follow up on and drip on that lead. Mm-hmm. So just little things like that that can make a huge difference on. Most of these solutions are not the cost of leads. It's really pennies on the dollar, and it's very affordable to not just obviously the big brands, but mid-sized organizations, small organizations. And granted, there's a lot of groups that are using technologies like this, but it may not be pointing in the right direction, or there may be some different attributes that one might want to pull from an inbound call or a form inquiry. Or maybe the process for cleaning up these 300,000 records is broken in the chain, and I'm not using a self-serving secure portal to upload my data. So, you know, we see all different levels of user experience of end users. And, you know, even the not so savvy folks out there with technology can access these solutions relatively easily. So we kind of like break down that fear a little bit. And that's what we wanted to do with our technology, is make it simple, easy, user friendly, and most importantly, performance based, where people don't have to sign a contract. They just keep using the solution based on the performance of whatever solution they're using. They have a bad experience. Thank you. Thank you for trying the solution. You know, keep us in mind for something in the future. We're pretty easy to work with. So, and that's what I think people like in today's environment. You know, flexibility when dealing with partners, vendors, clients, end users. And I think the companies that show that flexibility, whether they're working in a call center or they have that empathy when they're talking to a consumer or a business owner at the call center, and have some flexibility in their processes, is really what it comes down to. The companies that have those three things dialed in are in position to do things really well. That's the people, the process, and the product. You know, you don't need all three, but when you have all three, it's really helpful. You know,
it's a home run. Well, I love it. I think it's interesting because I'm running through mentally the list of all the stuff that we wanted to talk about, and we could keep going on. You know, so many things we didn't even talk about, like the legislation side, the stir shaking, how to help people stay compliant, like how.
Oh, that's right. I guess there is some legislation going on.
There is. There's all kinds of stuff. So we might have to do a second part. But for people who are listening, I know that the business website, if they want to look it up, is datacenter.com. There's a bunch of great resources on there. I also know that you're very active on LinkedIn. So for anybody I know that probably wants to connect with you, chat with you, follow up, learn more both about what you've seen and then also, you know, what kind of services you provide, they can look up Stephen Moreno on LinkedIn.
It's always worth the conversation. And we love, you know, we don't work with everybody, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all kind of in this together, and, you know, we love supporting the ecosystem. So thank you. Thanks, Jay. That's really great. Appreciate your time. It's been very invigorating.
Yes. Well, and I appreciate you coming on finally after meeting almost a year ago in person. So thanks for being here. And
no worries.
appreciate everyone for tuning in. Hopefully you got some value from this. Hopefully this will give you some ideas and things to think about with your data, with your leads, with how you're routing them, how you go about them, how you enhance, how you fight the instinct to go quantity over quantity. And so hopefully some good value. But until next time, we'll catch you on the next episode of the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast.
Did you get some inspirations of ways to help your call center sales team win bigger, stronger, and faster? Hope you are fired up to scale your sales operations. If you got value from this podcast, please go in and leave a rating and review. Also, make sure to forward this episode to anyone else you know in the call center space. We appreciate your support in growing the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast family. And if you have any comments, ideas, or feedback, contact us at CutterConsultingGroup.com.